Well, what a great time of worship. And is it a little weird to have a pyramid on the stage? That kind of, but I know it's like, I don't want it to be sacrilegious or anything, but you know, the cross is towering far above. Amen. Come on. All right. We just wanted you guys to enjoy the VBS decor before we rip it all down this week. So, hey, we have a wonderful opportunity this morning that we had to take advantage of. We have some missionaries with us, our missionaries with us this morning. And so I would like to invite up Pastor Jim Brewer to come on up, and also Mike and Dara Rasavan, our missionaries from Thailand. Come on up. And we are so excited. You guys have heard of a lot of the work we've been doing and helping with, really, supporting in Thailand. Pastor Jim is going to spend some time interviewing Mike and Dara. He knows them very well, and you've known them for a very long time. So he is the man for the job today. So you guys take it away, and we are so excited to hear what you guys have to share with us this morning.
Thanks, Pastor Kevin, for the opportunity. We've known each other, you can sit down, for I think 28 years. We were part of the same church, I think when I was a youth pastor before I became the executive pastor, and these are business people, and did very well in business. They were also our neighbors, and both of us, I mean, we have another thing in common. Both of us have lost a child, and these folks, I just knew them as great business people. And then they decided to start a Thai Dom church out of the church that we were a part of. And I want you to tell them about that, but there's a reason that you came to the U.S. And I don't think we fully grasp sometimes things that happen in the world, and they were in Laos. And Dara, you've told me this story before, but do you mind just sharing with us how you got to the U.S. And Mike as well, your family were not believers. And if you wouldn't have come to America, I don't know that you would even have accepted the Lord because of your family's heritage. So do you mind just real quick, not super quick, but just share with us what you have told me about just what was going on in crossing a river and that?
Sure. Thank you, Pastor Jim. And first of all, we just want to say thank you to Hope Church for your love and support, and for us to be here. Actually, when I told Pastor Jim we want to come and ask Pastor Kevin if we can have like 5 minutes. We didn't realize we're going to have the whole service, but we sure have a lot of stories to tell. But our background is the Thai Dom people. We are the ethnic group of the Vietnam people in North Vietnam, where our family were the refugee migration of the Dien Bien Phu war. After the World War II, our family became refugee to Laos, where both Mike and I were born. And as you know, none of us here probably say we love war. War kills and separates family. It brings lots of pain. But I believe that during the Vietnam War, I don't know if you have any Vietnam veteran, or maybe your family are, God used the Vietnam War to allow the Thai Dom people to again become refugee to America. And in 1975, a lot of young people here probably don't experience the pain of the Vietnam War had brought to Americans. Many people have died, including American soldiers. As a child in Laos, you know, I always dream about I've seen posters of like New York City or, you know, Hawaii or Chicago, beautiful lightings. And in Laos, like, we grew up in a family that we're not well-to-do. And I know a lot of people send the kids to America for education, and I knew I would never be able to do it. And because of the Vietnam War, there was door open to the Tidam people to come to Iowa. The state of Iowa governor, Robert Ray, had accepted 250 family of the Tidam. They said they want to go together in 1975. And none of the governor in America would accept them except Governor Robert Ray. And because they said they were farmers, and when they get to Iowa, it wasn't quite the kind of farming they knew. All these machines, they don't know how to use it. But the Tidam people settled in Iowa since 1975 and settled and become good, very hard workers and build the state of the Iowa. And our family came later in 1980, which then they already closed the border. Mike's family came the first batch. So when Mike family came, and there was a river called the Mekong River between Laos and Thailand, and we have to escape. So when our family escaped from the country of Laos, they were shooting at us. So that was the first experience that I have experienced. That was a God that I didn't even know. You know, crossing that river, I don't know how we made it, but I heard my mom say, God, up there somewhere. She just said, the power up in the above, please help us. So we crossed the river, and they start shooting in the middle of the river, and there were people got shot and died, and our family made it. My mom, then she was only like 40 years old. She's not very big, but I was only 12 years old. And I don't know where the power came from. I lift her up, and I carry her up the bank. And up to this day, all I know was that was when you need that strength, God would give you that. And our family were sponsored by a Christian Reformed church, very different from Open Bible. Very conservative. Our whole family became a Christian. We were baptized in 1982, and I made a confession of faith and gave my life to Jesus at the age of 17. And that was the best decision I've ever made in my life, second to marrying the love of my life. And since then, I committed my life to serve God. Until today, and it's been 59 years.
and we've known each other for a long time, and I remember when, and you know, when you have a great job, life is going well, and then God says, how about start a church? And that's exactly what you did. You started a Tidam church from the First Church of the Open Bible, and that is amazing. And the church is still going, still doing well. How many years did you pastor that church, and were you trained as pastors?
No. As you said, I grew up, we are not Christian. We worship ancestors and Buddhism, you know, and I got saved at First Church of the Open Bible and in 1979. And I went, well, you know, everybody wants to come to America because this is the greatest country of the world, no matter what happened, no, in spite of what's going on. But everyone come to America want to have a, you know, live American dreams. So I went to study, and went on to college. I was State University. I majored in electrical engineering, and I thought I'm gonna live my life, my American dreams. But when I got saved, I was helping Sunday school at First Church, you know, and you were the second in command of the church, right?
Well, there were two Jims there. One was called King James, and they called me James the Less. But yes, I felt important, even with that title.
Yes, and we were neighbors. So anyway, a long way back. But God had, impressed in my heart. Make a long story short, in 1996, we felt that we need to go out and plant a church because we want to win the Asian refugees. You know, not just Taiwan people, but a lot of Asian refugees came to Iowa at that time, and we want to plant a church focused on the Asian community. And I didn't want to be a pastor. I didn't have any seminary training, of course. And I told my wife, you know, we need to go out and plant a church. And she said, who's going to be a pastor? And so I kind of thought a little bit. I said, well, if no one take a pastor position, then I'll be a pastor. Just out of the blue, and then she was like in shock, you know, because I never felt in that way. I didn't want to. Well, first I didn't want to be a Christian. I didn't want to follow Jesus, but I did. You know, I didn't want to go into ministry, and God called me to do that. I thought I may pastor a year or two until God sends somebody else, but I end up being a pastor for 20 years. So, yeah, so God had different ways of dealing with my life. And yeah, we stepped down. I didn't want to be a missionary either. So I thought 20 years as pastor is long enough. Like Pastor Kevin said, it's challenge. It's very challenging to be a pastor. And when we stepped down, and she said, you know, what are we going to do? I said, well, we're done with our life, our ministries, the church going moving forward, and then we felt a calling, said you need to go back to where you came from to bring the gospel of Jesus Christ, the hope, yeah, the hope that we have found in Christ. You need the God said that you need to go back and tell your people, and that's what we did. Yeah,
I just want to say you're crazy, but but God help maybe a few more of us to be crazy, because that's how the kingdom moves forward. We think we can have it our way and God's way, and it's never been about that. It's about His way and doing our best to get out of the way, and you've done that. And so you were missionaries, and there was a conference, I don't know, 5, maybe 6 years ago, and a friend of mine said, hey, the Rossavans have been over in Thailand. They really haven't had anyone visit. It's just hard. Will you meet with them? And I said, of course. They were my old neighbors. I mean, we were the ones where the priest across the street during the snowstorm stuck his hand in the snowblower and cut his fingers off. I mean, we're friends. I mean, we go way back. And I thought, yeah, let's get together. And so we had breakfast. And, I mean, ministry's hard. And I remember just saying, if there's any way we hope can bring hope, let us know. And then what happened after that?
Well, so Mike and I, you know, after we sat down from pastoring, the Lord said, go back to where you come from. And we did. We tried to raise funds to become missionary to go back to Southeast Asia, where we would minister to in Thailand, Laos, and Vietnam. And of course, we already started a learning center in Cambodia, and we know we still need to reach out for more people. And we went, and as missionaries, you have to raise your own funds, and we were fund shortage. And we were gonna go negative. So when we met with Pastor Jim at the regional retreat, Pastor Jim said, well, Mike and Dara, if you have a need, let me know. And we were like, okay. And he said, I have, you know, we have a church. We have someone who wants to be part of, partner with a mission work. And we were like, the first 2 years, it was a challenge because we didn't have enough money to do anything. So we were out in the field for 2 years and came home. And we were like, we're not sure if we're going to continue to live in Thailand because there was such a stronghold in Thailand. Thailand has about 67 million people, and Protestant Christian is about 0.06%. This is like less than one person. And dark spirit people were worshiping Buddha, mainly Buddhism and animism, witchcrafts, sorceries, and all kinds of things that they were attacking us spiritually. And I told Mike, I said, we don't know. We don't have enough money, and we have all these people that don't want to be a Christian. We don't know how we're going to make it. And we knew that getting a ministry started is almost impossible because Thailand, the government oversees the church, and they only allow two Christian organizations. You cannot go and start a denomination. And our intention was to bring Open Bible Mission to Thailand and Southeast Asia. And so all we could do was build relationship. And we knew that, and buying properties or land is almost impossible. It was just very expensive. So after that, we went back and we prayed and we said, God, we couldn't do anything, but only you can do it. And when we were partnering with a church that was in been there for 30 years, that it was dying, everything was broken, and it was gonna like go to waste. And one day we went to worship with them. It was a Thai Nam church. At one time they had 30, 40 people, and it was down to two people and the pastor's family. And one day we went to worship with them, and we walked out of the door, and there was like this land next to the church, and there used to be ponds, like three ponds, like deep in holes everywhere. And then somehow, you know, God put a light bulb in my head and said, this land could be filled with dirts, and then it would become land, a ground that we could build something. So we asked the lady elder that's been there forever, and we said, if we can fill the land and we can build something, would you want to build a new church? And they all said yes. And then we contacted Pastor Jim and said, Pastor Jim, we found a land that we could do something with it, but we need some money to bring in dirts. And he said, you got it. And he worked so fast. We don't know how he did it, but he must have come and asked you guys, what did you need? We said, we need about, at first we only need
$8,000.
And he just sent it to Open Bible Headquarters, and we filled the land.
To find out, because we thought that $8,000 would be enough to bring dirt in. And because the elder ladies that oversee the church, she thought we're just going to fill a little bit and add on the church. But for us, God wanted to fill the whole land. So until we brought in about $8,000, and then it's just a little bit of dirt coming in. And we were looking at each other. I said, wow, we need more money. And I was so, not ashamed, but I'm so afraid to come back to Pastor Jim, because he did put $8,000. If I knew before that, I would have asked him for $100,000, you know, but it's too late now. But anyway, so I emailed you, right? Remember, I said, Pastor Jim, this is the situation, but I'm not going to ask more money from you, because I honestly thought that $8,000 would be enough to bring the dirt in to fill the pond. And Pastor Jim kind of like scolded me, you know. He said, did you scold me, didn't you? He said, my income, you don't write a contract, right?
There are lessons to learn in construction. You don't do anything unless it's written in and signed.
Yeah,
so I let him learn a lesson.
Yeah, so we did. So, but in Thailand, they don't do contract like here. So anyway, so we have to pray and ask for more money from our church, from the church that we planted, and they add on to it, and it bring in more. And now, yeah, praise God.
Yes, we did. And then now, you know, the move director, Aaron Keller, he said, Mike and Dara, when you have a land, let me know. So we move or come and build the building for you. And we contacted him, and they got on it, and they came 2023 to survey and then started building process. And when they were that little old church, when they were trying to, there was a lot of junks there. They, when they tried to get rid of the junks, that was like a big cobra was living next to the church.
Under the pile.
And it has like dozens of eggs in it. And we and then they killed it. They chopped it in half. And then and then okay. So the devil's out of the way.
We were told they cut the cobra in half, but the head went somewhere. Still, the tail was still there. So we don't know what happened to the
This is the life of missionaries. All right, let me say this. So, because we're running out of time, and I got the look from Pastor Kevin like, hey, bro, you're not going over. I'm like, I know. Guys, here's the bottom line. We helped. We did what God called us to do, and that is the result of this. We were just the bottom layer of this, but everything that happens there, when you give to missions, you're part of. Now, there's another project, and I think we talked about it, that they're wanting to build something that will be for sustainability. They're not going to be forever in Thailand, but Dara's so crazy. She wanted, you know, education is important in Thailand, and having a school, and that's important. So at her young age, which just is a little bit younger than me, she started a PhD program. And she is committed to finishing this before God and all of these witnesses. And she hates that I say this because she wants to give up, but she can't. And look at her, just her countenance just went down. But they're committed. And just for the last minute or two, but I want to say something. They want to build, they're on a very busy road, and there are people from her country that make these beautiful artisan type things. And what they want to do when they eventually leave Thailand, and it's hard. I mean, let me just ask you this. When's the last time you were home for Christmas?
We have not have Christmas if it's our family. This is, will be our 8 years. Yeah.
I mean, just park on that for 2 seconds. It's not easy. And eventually they plan to be in America and also in Thailand, and they want to start how many churches?
We would like to plant 20 churches in Laos and Vietnam.
Yeah, and that just makes me tired.
And we already got 6 going right now.
Yeah, and you know, they're committed. She's finishing her doctorate. She just has to get a little further. But they want to build, and we've already, we said we'll match up to $15,000. And they're going to build a building that's going to be a coffee shop. It's going to be cool and hip for the younger people. Then they'll sell these things. It's going to have like a roll-up door, and they'll have fruit and vegetables. And it will help pay the pastor. It will help sustain the ministry. It's not just about building. It's how do you sustain it? How do you keep it going? And they want to continue to build churches. And gosh, we don't have a lot of time, but I'm just going to say real quick, after they built this church, she was praying for a miracle. I mean, a miracle that someone would come to know Christ, and a person had a dream and came to the church and they led him to Christ. They had a dream of Christ and go to this church and they led him to Christ. And there's, if you want to talk to them after church, they have miraculous stories. But what I would like to say to you is it possible that we could continue to help them with this building? That they could build it even sooner. I mean, they're out itinerating, trying to raise money. They're not asking for money, but maybe you, and I wouldn't say this if we hadn't already, I mean, we've given. Our whole life has been about giving. It's really not what you have, it's what has you. And when we think it's all about us, that's how come we become miserable. That's how come in this area it has one of the highest divorce rates in the entire country. Because people think upward mobility is inward tranquility, and there's a difference. It's all God's. But maybe you want to be like me, and not like me, but like Christ, and say it's better to give than to receive. Maybe there's a way you would say, I would like to help invest in these churches. And I love you guys.
Thank you so much.
And we've enjoyed the two times we've been to Thailand and have just been able to let you rest a little bit. I brought you a gift. Sorry, you said you ran out.
Oh, yeah. This is our lifesaver.
Yeah. She loves those peppers. And just for you that I give peppers to, pray my pepper crop is the worst it's ever been. So this will affect your future if you don't pray. But back to the Rossavants. Maybe Pastor Kevin, I think I'll have you come and close things up. But guys, thank you for being so honest with us. You know, these are normal people who had a life plan and God adjusted it. And I know it's not been easy. But serving God is not easy.
No.
And so we love you and appreciate you. And hey, thanks for letting me have the opportunity to share a little bit.
Yes. Hey, guys, let's give these guys a big hand. Stay here a minute.
Thank you so much.
I would like to, I want to invite Sharon Brewer to come up. And I'd like to invite Pharaoh to come up. That would be Wes and Lisa. You saw Wes as Pharaoh in the video. If you guys, I'm going to put you on the spot here. Just come on up. And I'd like us to pray. And for the rest of us, I'd like you just to reach out your hands to Mike and Dara, and let's lift them up and hold them up in prayer. Sharon, would you mind praying? And Wes or Lisa, or Wes and Lisa, I'm going to ask one of you to pray as well, okay? We'll have Sharon start, okay?
From today. Father, I thank you for their willingness to serve you, to lay down their lives that they might follow you. And Father, I pray that you would just bless them, that you would, Lord, provide and supply all their needs, financial needs, needs for comfort, needs for when that loneliness comes in. Father, they've given up much, but I pray that you would bless them and reward them for their faithfulness, Lord, to you. God, I know their hearts want to see a mighty harvest. And Lord, we ask, we know that your spirit is moving. And Lord, our world needs you. We need you, Jesus. And I pray, Father, that your Holy Spirit would fall upon these countries, Lord. I pray, Father, that the darkness would flee at the name of Jesus. I pray, Father, that you would anoint them, that you would fill them with power, that you would go before them, that you would put straight paths before their feet. Lord, that you would bring in a harvest. I pray, Lord, as they prepare to go back, that you would just fill them, that, Father, you would fill them with hope and a deeper sense, Lord, of what you want to do through them. God, we pray for the people that they touch and minister to. I ask that, Lord, your Holy Spirit would begin to give them dreams, would begin to give them a desire for the things of God. Lord, we ask, Father, for revival. And Lord, we just thank you for them. We pray for your protection over them, over their family. We pray that you keep them safe as they travel, Lord. And God, I just ask that, Lord, they would be able to rest, that you have their days in your hand.
And I reiterate, oh Lord, what Sharon prayed. Rest in you. Ministry is hard. And Father, give them the strength to persevere physically and spiritually. Give them a supernatural strength that they will conquer. They will stand strong and do everything in your name. And that you would bring in the fold. Bring in people that, Father, you have them. I just see them. You're holding them in your hands. and a hedge of protection. We pray around them spiritually and physically as the enemy comes against them. In Jesus' name, we bind the enemy and cast them into outer darkness and replace them with your grace, your mercy, your love, your protection that covers over their whole being, from all their property, from the four corners of their property to their homes, to their families. Father, for the all the people that help the other pastors that are involved there, Lord, as they are raising them up, protect them. Give them a spirit of boldness to go out and proclaim the gospel, to preach forth the word of God and not water it down, Lord, that you will be glorified in this. And we pray, Father, again for the funds. We pray as a church body that we would step up and step out in faith and give beyond our means, not so the people look at us, but people look to you, that your work can go forth. You can do it on your own without us, but you choose to do it with us. And I pray that we would allow ourselves to be a part of that ministry. Strengthen them and glorify yourself in the midst of all the calamity of the world. What a war-torn country that they've gone through. And we pray that that 0.001% would be 100%. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Let's give them another hand.
Thank you so much.
I'm going to ask for the worship team to come up. We're going to close out in a song, and I just have a couple comments to say. You know, it was important to give them the service today because we just would not have understood or known them as well than to hear some of those stories. And they have incredible stories. I just want to ask you today to pray about how God might be speaking to you about how to give to this ministry, okay? Pray about that. Think about how you can support this ministry. You saw the pictures. There are hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people being reached. We love supporting ministry like that. If you would like to give, you can do that, okay? You can write a check today if you want. Shailene, raise your hand right over there. She's the accountant, all right? So give her the check, all right? And we'll make sure it gets to them. You can give online. Use the mobile app if you'd like and just select general missions, just normal, our normal general missions. And in the memo, you can just write Thailand or you can write Mike and Dara, okay? And we will make sure that they get that support, okay? I really want you to just think about how you can do that today. We don't have missionaries here all the time, so what an opportunity to give to something that is for the kingdom of God. Amen. I want to say one more thing. I had a whole big thing to talk about, but Dara was talking about how she had to cross that river, right? And I want you to know that there is a river that God wants all of us to cross. Amen. You know the story of how he took Israel out of Egypt. That's what the kids have been learning. And what was his purpose? He wanted to bring them into the promised land. But they also had to cross a river. And they had to put their faith in God. And I want you to think about that today. And I want you to think about Mike and Dara and the amazing, bold decisions that they made with their lives to serve the Lord. And we all will come up to the river of faith in our lives, and we will have to decide if we're going to cross into what God wants for us and leave what we want behind. And so I want to leave you with that today. I want you to remember this day, and let's finish with worship. Amen? Amen.